Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. I've seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back.
Guess who's back?
It's Mr. E.
Back again.
And?
J Clone 3.
With
no, it's not Clone 3. It's not Clone 3. I'm not Clone 3. Definitely not.
Sorry, I didn't say that, and you yelled at me.
Sorry, it's Clone 33.
Yes, okay. Welcome back to Cryptids of Corn podcast.
Clone 3 is busy.
If you're just now, I realize how hard our show would be to get into for the newer listeners when you say that stuff, and I say...
I don't even know it, what I'm saying.
No, but you are Jay, and I am Justin.
No, you're Mr. E.
Mr. E and the Clone Master, which I think it's funny when you see that in newspaper articles and stuff like that.
Clone Master?
You are called Clone Master in several different newspapers.
What?
Yes, Emily can agree.
How do they know which one's the master?
I don't know. It's just, you've been called Clone. Anyways.
Yes, never mind.
Everybody knows the topic besides you, so that's exciting for me all the time. You just know it's about trains.
Trains, yeah. I don't know anything else.
But before I get to that, before we get to the fun topic of this episode, I want to say thank you to Bob for all the amazing stickers that he sent us for the bus. We love Bob. Bob, thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
I want to thank Rachel, sent us from New Zealand, or Rach off of Patreon. She sent us some amazing chocolate. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's probably my favorite chocolate I've ever had. I don't like...
Ever had?
Yeah. I don't like super sweet chocolates, but yeah. I don't like dark chocolate. I like dark chocolates, but it's different, right?
Yeah.
That's like a
what
good,
you're going after.
That's like a good milk chocolate.
Okay. Yeah, if you're expecting milk chocolate and you take a bite of dark chocolate, it sucks.
I like dark chocolate.
Me too, but not when you're expecting...
Right. It's like anything. Like when you think you're getting a Sprite and you taste Dr. Pepper, I don't care what it is. It is gross. When it's very different than what you were expecting to taste.
Right, yeah.
I did that once with, I think, orange juice. I was expecting pop. It was in a cup, same cup. So yeah. I almost threw up.
Well, I did that once, too. I was expecting... I thought
yours was chew spit.
No. I did do that, too. It was root beer, and it was root beer, it was chew spit. No, when you said orange juice, I used to have a little juicer thing. You'd shove into the orange, you'd squeeze it, and you'd drink the juice out of the orange.
Yes, I remember those.
So I had one of those, and I thought, whoa! Like, I had two of them. I'm like, yeah, I was a little kid. And then I found this really big orange, and I'm like, oh, orange is huge. This is going to be amazing. Shove that thing down there, pop the top open, took a big squeeze right in my mouth. It was a grapefruit. I about puked.
So like remember battery that. Battery acid.
I threw it down, didn't even pick it up. I was angry, little kid, and
yeah. So I want to thank Rachel for sending us some amazing chocolate from New Zealand.
Yeah, thank you.
Jay doesn't know what it tastes like.
I haven't tried it yet. It's in my fridge at home.
Yep. But no, and she's it was, like, I hope it didn't melt. It did not melt.
It's a little melty.
But that was from when I gave it to you. It was hot the day it got here.
Exactly, yeah.
I ate mine right out the package. It was fine.
Mine's in the fridge.
So thank you, Rach.
As we speak. Yes,
thank you, Bob.
Bob and Rach.
And I think that is it for thank yous besides today's episode topic. Our good friend Junior from Loveland.
No.
Yeah. He sent me a Facebook message last night as of recording this. This is probably a month and a half after he actually messaged me.
Okay.
But this is the next day as far as podcast time travel.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, I found this thing and it'd be a really cool topic for you guys. And I'm like, yes, it would be. And we're doing it.
So trains, that's all I know.
So train wrecks, circus train wrecks. And the monsters that appear around them.
Oh.
So how many times...
P.T. Barnum's.
How many times in Cryptids, you know, when we start doing these episodes and stuff like that, there's a train wreck and a monster gets out, or a train wreck, and blah, blah, they say that it's just an ape that escaped from a circus wreck.
Right. Or it's my life, just train wreck.
So how many times have we heard that, though?
Often.
You know, it's a lot, especially when we talk about the apes in North America and some of the weirder cryptids.
I was going to say on our older... articles, like where we find, that's where, like, newspaper articles, it's like, usually like, oh, there's probably
escaped ape from local circus wreck.
Right, every time.
Yeah. So he was like, you know, I wonder how much validity there is to that. Mm-hmm. You know, so here is a website that gives you every circus train wreck in U.S. history.
Holy.
So.
Everyone?
You know, that's.
For the most part.
You know, documented. I'm sure there's a couple that are left. Hundreds. So this will probably be a 3 or 4 part episode. We're just going to do one part and sprinkle them in.
I thought you were going to say.
No, we're not in a row.
We're going to run through all of them.
No, I just did. We're just doing them in order. And, you know, we're kind of talk. If there's any of these train wrecks that do have monsters that pop up around them, like cryptid sightings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How common it is. Before we really get into it. First off, thank you again, Junior.
Yes. Thank you, Junior. Appreciate it.
Do you think so? We've talked about it several times. Do you think this is a real thing, or do you think this is something that people use to blame?
I think both.
Explain.
I think it's a real thing that happens, because when a train wrecks full of, you know...
Circus train. I keep forgetting to say circus train.
Well, you're right.
It's a specific type of train wreck.
Yes.
There's circus animals normally in the train.
Correct. That's... So when we say train wreck, in this episode specifically...
That means circus train.
Just circus train animals, or trains with circus animals on them. When those wreck, you know, you got an out-of-place... You automatically have a cryptid now in that area, because you got an out-of-place animal if they are to escape, and, you know, you can't find them after the wreck. So there's an automatic cryptid by definition. But I just believe it happens. I believe that, you know, things escape. It's even... They can keep them in zoos. You know, places where they're built to contain animals can't contain animals all the time. So if you get a train that wrecks, you're going to have some free animals. Some ostriches running around, cats, lions, all sorts of crazy stuff.
And a lot of people at the time didn't know what those animals were.
Right, yeah. They don't have exposure to them yet.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about a lot of times it's rural America where these wrecks are caught, you know.
Right.
This just today, we're just doing the 1800s and we don't even get through all the 1800 train wrecks.
Okay.
For the circus train wrecks. And so there's just a lot of mysterious animals that a lot of locals maybe have seen that you know about.
Right.
For example, like a chimpanzee. You know, it kind of looks like a guy, kind of looks like a monkey, you know, it's a great ape. So it's kind of, you know, in between as far as looks go.
Right.
If you didn't know what a chimpanzee was, you'd call that a guy running through the woods.
Or a monkey man or something.
Or monkey man, a wild man.
Yeah, wild
something
man.
Something like
that.
You know, so that's where a lot of this legends could come from is...
Like the monkey god in South America.
Maybe. But dude, I got fun facts for you. This website gave us some trivia. And this is, I'll make sure I include the website link below in the description. Because it's a pretty good website if you want to learn about circus train wrecks.
Okay.
That's about it.
It's a very specific.
But it's got all the information.
Yeah.
Did you know that in 1952, at age 5, Steven Spielberg saw his first motion picture?
Wow.
It was the greatest show on earth. The train wreck scene from the movie inspired Spielberg's to later become a filmmaker.
Wow.
So yeah, the first circus train to travel by rail was Dan Stone's circus in 1854. Throughout history of America's circus, train wrecks have taken many, many lives. The last fatal train wreck occurred in 1994 near Lakeland, Florida. Currently, only one circus and one carnival move their shows by railroad anymore. But the units of the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus and James E. Stratt's Carnival.
Okay.
They're the last two that still move by train.
Okay.
Most of them, I'm going to assume, move by semi now. Probably a little easier, a little cheaper, and a little bit more direct.
Yeah.
More when you can drive to the place.
More under your control.
Yeah, you don't have to set up shop right next to the train station.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so any questions so far?
No, basic, straightforward.
All right, so the first one I have for you is P.T. Barnum's Great Traveling Explosion. This is Aluta. Is Iowa IW?
Huh?
Is Iowa IW the state?
No, I thought it's IA.
What's IW?
IW.
Anyways, Aluta. In August 29, 1870. Iowa, thank you. Emily said Iowa.
Iowa is IW?
Yeah, I was right.
It's not IA?
I guess not. Don't yell at me. This is 1877. This killed six people. So I looked in this area.
Okay.
And I couldn't find a cryptid sighting from that year or anything kind of close by or anything like that.
Wait, Iowa is IA.
Then what's IW? Maybe, is it both? Was it one thing for a period of time and then they changed it?
I don't know.
Keep in mind, this is 1877. We shouldn't be getting hung up on this super hard.
True. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
You know, pay attention to the train wrecks.
Okay.
So, yeah. I couldn't find anything. This is the first big one, P.T. Barnum's, too. So, it's a real, right. You know, it's a real big circus mm-hmm. company. Now, my next one for you is Sells Brother Circus, Birmingham, PA, May 1st, 1878. And guess what?
What?
Chicken I butt? Got one.
Uh-oh. You got? What do you mean you got one?
I found a cryptid that was seen immediately after this train wreck.
Oh, okay. Some stars aligned here.
Down river.
Oh, okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
So we're going to talk about the mystery on the river. Legends of the 1878 Wrightsville Sea Monster. Ooh. This is in the river. They called it a sea monster because it's 1878.
Oh, it's water, yeah.
And so there's some, we're talking, you know, a couple centuries ago now, so it's kind of hard to tell some of these dates, so there's a little stuff. But a shiver of anticipation ran through the communities of Wrightsville in Columbia, and this is PA.
Okay.
Spurred by tales of a mysterious creature lurking in the shallow waters and depths of the river. The event was intrigued. Such favor occurred on the scenic Sunday afternoon when a group of gentlemen rowing across the river found themselves witnessed this uncanny spectacle. Among the party was a Mr. Daugherty, a respected boss carpenter employed by the Reading and Columbia Railroad Company, whose account led credence to the whispers of this unknown creature. He recounted that the moment with the clarity born of awe, the creature first noticed for its startling demeanor. So keep in mind, they're encountering a monster in the river.
Yeah.
The same year, about a month and a half later after my train wreck.
Okay.
The creature, first known as for its startling demeanor, it stood erect in the water, its stature reaching upwards of 7 feet. Its head bore a canine resemblance, perched atop a slender neck, no thicker than about a foot to a foot and a half, leading to a robust body. Its girth exceeded more than a foot and a half at its widest. Its eyes were small and piercing, flanked by peculiar appendages resembling little fans on its head. It was equipped with claws/fins at the same time, presenting the vestige both frightful and menacing. This endemic being revealed itself 5 times, each instant rising from the depths to stand on its 2 feet branching from the front of its body, as if it's challenging onlookers to decipher its nature.
Hmm.
The man, spurred by a mix of curiosity and bravery, hesitant to pursue towards the Wrightsville shore, their actions mirrored by several boats from the vicinity, all drawn into a chase. The youth of Columbia, too, could not restrain to be from the call of adventure, launching into the river in hopes of encountering the unknown creature. The creature's true identity became a subject of heated debate among townsfolk. So speculations range from the plausible giant otter to a seal, to the fantastical more descriptions. Yes. So I'll read a little bit more. but do you have any idea what this animal was?
I've got some thoughts, but just to recap.
I have the newspaper clipping, too, just so you know. I have the actual,
the actual
1878
article.
Newspaper clipping.
Any photos?
Huh?
Any photos?
No.
Oh, darn.
I think it was still at the powder exposure photography then. So to get a sea monster to sit still long enough.
You never know.
But so people encounter this creature 5 times in groups.
So
it seemed challenging, like it was playing with them almost.
Okay.
It never hurt anybody.
Right.
It was really big though.
Mm-hmm.
And
7 foot tall, roughly, they said.
I think they mean long. It's really hard to tell with the language.
Well, with it being upright too.
Like, you know, but it would stick out of the water like a pillar.
Yeah.
And when it was on land, it walked on its two appendages that were towards the front of its body.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was on the bank.
Okay, I didn't know when it was
on
land.
It's really hard language.
Yeah, okay.
But so no, it's on the shore a lot. Of. You have no guesses?
Well, the little fans on its head?
The could be little ears.
Right, yeah.
So do you know the difference? Okay, canid-like head.
Yeah.
It's a sea lion.
You think just a plain old sea lion?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know the difference between seals and sea lions?
No.
Ears. A lot of other things. Seals don't have ears exposed. Sea lions have
do.
Ears.
Okay, like little fans, perhaps?
Sea lions stand up. Seals don't.
Okay.
So the New England coast had only experienced seals and never seen a sea lion.
Sea lion, okay.
So a very different looking animal, especially when it's up. So this circus did, in fact, have a sea lion.
Wow.
And they thought it died in the train wreck. In my opinion, it survived in the river for an extended period of time before probably some Pennsylvania man shot it to death and then ate it. Which you do at the time.
Could be. So no. they transport in the seal or a sea lion in a tank?
No, the train wrecked near a river.
Right.
So what do you mean?
What was it being transported on, like a dry cart? Or a dry?
Yeah, just in a box car.
And they're fine with that?
Yeah, they don't have to be in the water. They dry and they stand out in the sun and stuff like that. They sunbathe.
They don't have to have access to water, though?
They need water to drink, but they can be outside of the water for extended periods of time.
Okay.
This was the time when sea lions were trained in the circus to do tricks and stuff like that.
Balance the ball on their nose and juggle kind of stuff. And say funny jokes.
Yeah, well, there was the talking sea lion, which I'll do an episode on. Anyways, so in my opinion, this was a sea lion. It was trained because it wasn't scared of the people. It was almost like it was challenging them, having fun with them.
Yeah.
Like a trained sea lion.
Right, yeah.
And then it was just hiding. It was just hanging out in the river until somebody probably shot it.
It was doing its tricks to get some food.
Yeah.
And no one's feeding it. And it's like, come on, I'm doing doing all this stuff.
So I'm not the first one to come up with this idea.
Yeah.
A newspaper journalist did kind of connect the dots that same year later because he'd been on the West Coast and seen a sea lion.
Gotcha.
And he's like, I'm pretty sure this is a sea lion. So this is one of our first one where a cryptid was formed
from
what seems to be a train wreck and an animal surviving the wreck and escaping.
What did they call the cryptid?
Let me get it. Yeah, it's just the area, like the area monster.
Oh, okay. Darn it.
Sorry, the Wrightsville Sea Monster.
The Wrightsville Sea Monster, okay.
Later was dubbed the Wrightsville Sea Lion.
Gotcha. Okay.
But yes, so sea lions were common in circuses at the time. They were still common all the way up until the 1960s. But yeah. A sea lion.
I mean, by definition, it is a cryptid.
A real, genuine cryptid.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to read this article, but you know the language of the day. It's very different than our language.
Okay.
Considerably, excitement prevails among fishermen here who have report over the sea lion was seen in the river yesterday. In the afternoon, several gentlemen who were out in the river in a rowboat saw the peculiar looking object in the water. Mr. Dowder, boss carpenter of the railroad company we talked about, who was in the boat, described it as follows. When we first saw it, it was standing up in the water from at least 7 feet or more in the length. It had the head of that of a dog, and the neck was wide, about a foot long, like I read the description. Its body was thickest part was over a foot in diameter. Its small eyes in each of the side of its head, and something like a little fan or ears on its head. It had claws and fins at the same time. It was a frightful-looking object. 5 distant times it rose to the surface and stood up for 2 feet out of the water. Like the gentleman raced to it to Wrightsville shore, and several boats from that place started to pursue it. Several over the Columbian boys went out to see in the river at the same purpose. What is it? Is the question everybody asked here. Some still think it's an otter, others a seal, but we believe this was a sea lion. But yeah, very sea lion description, very sea lion, very sense. Much a sea lion.
Better than they were
in the circus.
Better than my initial guess.
What was your initial guess? I'm curious.
Like, what is this? Some sort of a kangaroo or something?
I could see that. Kangaroos do like the water. Like, that's where they trick you in there to drown you.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
I think you... It sounds familiar, so probably told me that.
Kangaroos, when they're fighting somebody, especially humans, they'll go stand in the water because they know they can pin you underwater and just drown you. Dang. They can hold their breath longer than you, and they know it.
Yeah.
They do it with dogs a lot, too. They drown a lot of dogs.
Man.
Kangaroos are tough customers.
Yeah, those, crikey.
So that's my first one. So there's your one. We got one and one. All right. Stellus Brothers Circus in Cladwell, Ohio, September 15th, 1878. One injured.
Ooh, okay.
I could find no cryptid relatively nearby.
1878?
Yeah, near Cladwell, Ohio.
Okay.
So I try not to do, I tried to not do too far of a stretch for some of these. Because, like, you could find a cryptid somewhere in 1878, you know, in the Midwest.
Okay.
But Cladwell, there's nothing within a couple hours of Cladwell.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, but yeah, still only one injured. Stellus, Sells Brothers Circus, Paint Lick, Kentucky.
Okay.
August 1882. 3 killed, 15 injured.
Ooh.
I couldn't find a cryptid for this.
So people were killed in the plane, or the train crash?
A lot of people were killed. That's okay. Why I read at the beginning.
Gotcha.
Hundreds of people have been killed over the centuries.
Okay.
I just want to point out, hyenas were also popular in a lot of these circuses.
That is true.
And unlike a lot of these other animals, like a sea lion,
yeah,
you know, these hyenas would just disappear into Appalachia.
Into the wilderness.
There you go. So, yeah, my next one is WC Corp Circus in Cairo, Illinois. That keeps popping up, doesn't it?
Wasn't that just the last episode we did?
Sharks. It was sharks. Corn sharks.
Yeah.
But it was also in the Mothman saga, the Chicago Mothman. It's been in the Thunderbird saga. That's where that Thunderbird attacked the kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's Cairo is a weird place. Or Cairo.
Well, like I was just going to say earlier, we have one down the road from us, Cairo. Yeah. I don't know how to ever
That's
say
it. That's why I'm saying it wrong in the episode, because the one near us is Cairo. It's spelled the same.
See, I've heard it's not called that, though. I've heard other people say, no, it's Cairo.
So when I used to take Luke to baseball there,
mm-hmm.
and the coach for the team that lives there always said, now I'm going to say it wrong, Cairo.
And no, and I went to school with a lady that would live there her whole life. She's like in her 50s, so in her 60s now. She said Cairo. She's like, no, everyone thinks it's Cairo. It's Cairo. You can't believe anybody anymore.
All right.
You say whatever you want.
So I couldn't find an animal specifically with this date close in proximity to Cairo, Illinois.
Okay.
Are you okay? Jeez, Corn what shark. Was that? Corn shark got burp, you.
I get
Nathan and Company Circus in Walcott, New York, September 23rd, 1882. I got one.
Uh-oh.
So this is the Coney Island Monster.
Ooh, okay. Not to be confused with the Warriors.
This is a weird monster. So a couple of these we're going to cover today. The dates can be a little skewed because I could find the same cryptid with two or three different dates.
Okay.
But I think that's partially because it was a century and a half ago.
Yeah.
So I did put some of them in there and we'll talk about. This is one that is either 1880 or 1882.
Okay.
So it could be not related to the train wreck, or it was the same time the train wreck.
Right.
So I want to be very clear that with the research that there's a chance, you know, that they're not connected.
Right.
But we still got to talk about a cool cryptid.
All right, cool. That's what this is all about, right?
So this is the Coney Island Monster. The entity description, it appeared as to be a man with the bats, or with a bat's wings and improved frog legs. The face of a man could be distinctly seen. It wore a cruel and demented expression. Its movements made the objects close to it resemble those of a frog in the act of swimming with its hind legs and flying with its front legs. Of course, no respectable frog has ever been seen to known to conduct itself in such precisely that way.
Right.
But were a frog to wear a bat's wings, to attempt and swimming and flying at the same time, he would correctly intimidate or conduct of the Coney Island Monster. When we add this monster waved its wings in answer to the whistles of the locomotive, it was deep black in color. So yeah, that was a lot to read. I'll read the full report. So what do you think so far?
I don't know what this thing is. I mean, it's like got characteristics of like three different things going on.
So the man's face in my... The highly man-like face,
yeah,
I think was a bit of an exaggeration by the
Usually is.
Yeah. I mean, so there's, and we, in my opinion, you got to water it back a little bit. You know, let's water it down to be a giant bat frog thing. The man's face is, I think, a little extra.
Okay.
So I'll read you the full story. One day last week, a marvelous apparition was seen near Coney Island. At the height of at least 1,000 feet in the air, a strange object was act of flying towards New Jersey coast. It was apparently a man with bat wings and improved frog legs. The face of the man could be distinctly seen. Keep in mind, it's 1,000 feet in the air.
Yeah.
And a face of a man could be distinctly seen.
And I just like it twice. Improved frog legs.
It wore a cruel and demented expression. The movement was made by the object. So I've already kind of read that. So when it was added, the monster waved its wings in answer to every time the locomotive below it whistled. Like it was getting bothered by the loud noise of the train whistle. And it was deep black in color. The alarming nature of the apparition could be imagined. The object was seen by many reputable people, and they all agreed that it was a man enlarged with wings in flight towards New Jersey. Mm. About a month ago, an object precisely the same nature was seen over the St. Lucius by the number of citizens who happened to be sober and believable and to be trustworthy. A little later, it was seen by various Kentucky peoples as it flew across the state. In no instances has it been known to align, and no one has seen the lower elevation than 1,000 feet above the surface of the earth. It's without a doubt the most extraordinary and wonderful object that has ever been seen, and there is such no time lost in astonishing its precise nature, habitat, and probable mission. So keep in mind, a long time ago this was written.
Right.
That this aerial apparition is a man fitted practically by wings, and no reason to doubt. Someone had solved the problem of aerial navigation by inventing wings with which a man can sustain himself in the air to direct his flight by any desired point. Who is the adventurous flyer in the object of his, in what is object? The question of immense and enormous importance. Of course, the first plausible of the interflections of the mind will be exclaimed with the mysterious flyer and an aeronaut who has been invented practical wings. His sensitive experimentation was before making his invention public. This is direct adventure with known habitat and no habits and customs of aeronauts.
Okay.
So he's saying there's, you know, it's reasonable why nobody's come forward and talked about it because they just invented flight.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
50 years before flight or 40 years before flight was technically invented. So they're keeping it secret. And then the U.S. government shot this guy.
Oh, okay.
No, he was an aeronaut, and it just goes on. This article talks forever about, and it was seen by tons of people. They give names and stuff like that. So this, in my opinion, was a real sighting because, like, for example, Mr. Tingle, which was a guy that owned several businesses in the area I could find and stuff like that. So there was people that did come forward and talk about this to the news and stuff like that. Now, you could say that this could be a cryptid explained with another cryptid, very kind of similar to some of the Mothman stuff.
Yeah, Mothman, Jersey Devil.
We're New Jersey.
Bat Squatch.
Yep.
I'm trying to go down the list. Those are the top three in my head when you were describing all this. It just kind of sounds like those accounts.
Yeah.
Shoot, but I don't want to explain a cryptid with a cryptid.
So, I think you were right with the Jersey Devil.
Okay.
But what was the Jersey Devil?
A hammerhead bat.
Yes.
Okay.
Keep in mind, the devil face man thing, throw that out, because they said nobody got closer than 1,000 feet.
Yeah, come on.
You're telling me, I'm looking out this window right now, and that's about 1,000 feet to that building over there. And if a guy was in that window, I couldn't tell you what his face looked like.
Come on, you sure?
Yeah. I'm sure that I couldn't tell he had the devilish face, unless he probably was the literal devil.
Yeah, that might stand out, wouldn't it?
So, to me, I think it was, I could find some evidence that said they were in trains, or not trains, they were in circuses. People would have giant fruit bats in cages.
Yeah.
Because they were super scary to people that didn't know what they were.
Oh, yeah. Because
people had fear of bats.
They're still like that.
And now there's a 6 or 7 foot wide bat.
Yeah.
So, I think the train wreck could have released a couple fruit bats, giant fruit bats.
They really get that big? 6, 7 feet wide?
I think our biggest species is 6.5 feet wide wingspan.
Holy moly. That'd be
the Malaysian giant flying fruit bat or the flying fox.
Is that the one from Ace Ventura 2?
No, that's the great white bat.
Oh, yeah. That's it. It's the great white bat.
No, so, yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, could be.
But it's near New Jersey.
Yeah.
So that's why in my head I'm like,
Jersey Devil.
A similar thing, the Jersey Devil.
First thing
there is a train wreck nearby, a circus train, that did have these kind of animals in it.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, that's very plausible.
So far, not a lot of apes. And I think we'll talk about that at the end of the episode,
mm-hmm.
why there may be not so many apes.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if you would just explain that one by an animal alone.
And it may not be. It could be more like a Mothman or something like
right.
that. I'm just saying for the context of this specific episode. Exactly.
Yeah, hammerhead bats. You could do something with that.
Yeah. If you've never seen it, a fruit bat or a hammerhead bat or one of the other giant species of bat,
mm-hmm.
and it's just flying near yeah. New Jersey in New York.
And could it be some kind of big bird that we just didn't, you know, like a Thunderbird type creature, or a giant heron you don't know about?
Yeah, and it could be any of it. It could have been any of it. A shoebill stork.
Should be a shoebill stork. Could be a...
The devilish face. You know how many people say the shoebills look evil?
Yeah, they do.
And they're very peaceful.
Especially from 1,000 miles away. And
from a quarter of a mile away.
Through a telescope with a...
A fifth mile away.
Yeah, I know. I'm just being a little exaggerated, but... What's the other bird there? What's a big thermal vent riders out in the West Coast? Well, this is East Coast. So.
Condors.
Could it be like California condor?
So
but
here's the thing is the
albatross.
Legs, as I was looking at the legs.
Uh-huh.
So to me, it had pretty thin, like, I guess, toes. So I thought of bats for that.
Yeah.
You know, very long, thin
improved
legs.
Frog legs.
Yes.
Whatever that is.
I don't think of talons and stuff like that when I think of improved frog legs.
Improved, though. That's what gets me. Okay.
It's also, we've lost that version of the language.
True.
You know, it could...
It's like, I thought it was... Could be interpreted as frog legs, but, you know, it was more improved.
It was improved. It was definitely improved.
Ah, good. Good notes.
All right. So my next train wreck is S.H. Bennett Circus in Hardinsburg, Kentucky.
Ooh.
And this is April of 1884. I couldn't really find anything for this one. A couple wild man accounts, but, you know, they're 4 or 5 hours away.
Okay.
So that's just, to me, it's too big of a net to really be casting.
Yeah. I mean, it's Kentucky, though.
That's what I'm saying. They had wild men since settlers got here. Well, they had wild men since the Native Americans were here. But I'm talking about, you know, written stories for settlers.
Yeah.
So to say that there was a wild man in Kentucky in 1882 is, there was one the next year and there's one the year before that. I don't think it had anything to do with the train wreck.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't the same town the train wrecked in or something like that, you know?
Right. But I don't think the train would have a wild man on it, though.
So this same company had another train wreck the same year. Actually, the same month, 9 days later.
Wow.
And it was in Abingdon, Virginia.
Okay.
They did not make it far.
Okay.
I just thought it was funny that it's literally like, I thought it was a misprint on the website.
Yeah.
Until I seen the state, that the town and state was different. I'm like, no, they just had a rough week.
I guess so.
You train wrecks twice. And
I mean, it just goes to show. When was this? 18 what?
The 1884.
So, I mean, our
infrastructure has not improved.
No, not at all.
The trains carry worse stuff than monkeys and giant bats now.
If anything, yeah, it's gotten worse, to be honest.
Well, you know, when it was just bats getting out, you're like, whatever.
Shucks.
Tip the train back on there. Let's go again. It's, you know, super deadly chemicals spilling out.
No one look. Let's just light it all on fire and go away.
The Johnny Robinson Circus in Fugis Falls, Minnesota, October 4th, 1885. 8 killed in this one.
Oh.
That was one. We haven't had anybody killed in one in a minute. I couldn't find anything with this one specifically. There you go. The Frank A. Roberts in Putnam, Connecticut, of 1886 killed one. So I found one with this one. Not a lot on it.
Mm-hmm.
A couple newspaper articles talked about a month after the train wreck, people seen a walking dog. By that, I mean a stand-up walking dog.
Oh, I was going to say.
Like a dog would stand up and walk.
Yeah.
And I wasn't, so as I read, it didn't seem like a dog man.
Right.
It didn't seem huge and, like a dog man and stuff like that. It seemed much smaller, like a child size, like a normal, like almost like a normal sized dog standing up and walking around.
Yeah.
You have any ideas on this one?
I've seen dogs do it.
I mean, like a lot. This dog was doing it a lot. And it was weird enough that the newspapers were talking about it.
We ever seen that video of that dog with no front arms and it's just they're walking on its back?
I think
legs,
they would
like
have
person.
Included that.
Well, I mean, maybe the legs didn't work.
You can't think of anything that could be on a circus train.
Oh, a kangaroo.
What? Huh? Emily said Skinwalker from across the room.
Yes. I don't think
they do have those on circus trains.
Yeah, they might have had some
Skinwalkers on circus trains.
Yeah, I've seen them in the mobile
kangaroo?
Acts. Yeah.
I didn't go with kangaroo, but I could see kangaroo.
Walking around, you know?
Yeah.
It's got the dog-like head.
They went baboon.
Oh, okay. I could see that, too.
They look very much like a German shepherd, and then they stand up. You know, they walk around a little bit, and then they get back down on all fours.
Yeah.
And that's what I could find about it. But like you said, it could have been a normal dog that was doing this trick. The newspaper articles are very, very quick snippets.
Right, yeah.
And I couldn't find a lot about it. But that was one.
I'm going kangaroo. I feel like kangaroo. They're always upright.
I could see kangaroo.
Yeah. Upright dog.
Okay.
Especially if you don't, you know, you're not from Australia. If you're in, what is that, Virginia? You see a kangaroo, it's like, that's a walking dog.
That is a walking dog. But that way I also killed one person, so it could have been his reincarnated spirit coming back as a walking dog to haunt the town.
Whoa, what?
I just wanted to say something really off the wall for you.
Yeah, like, whose spirit?
The guy that died in the train wreck.
Oh, it's just him.
Yeah, he's him reincarnated as a beast to haunt the town.
Understood. That's always an option.
Never throw it out. Adam Fourpaws Circus, Augusta, Maine. Gosh. And we've talked about Augusta before.
How many traveling circuses were there? A lot?
Hundreds. Hundreds for a long time. And then, you know, a couple, like the three or four big ones survived.
Took over. Just like anything nowadays.
Well, just because circuses got hard. There's no money in it. Like even the,
right.
The Ringling Brothers and stuff. They talk about how there's...
The big ones just absorb.
That's why they got rid of like their elephants and stuff like that. Partially for humane reasons, partially because...
Can't afford it.
There's no money in it.
Yeah.
They carry around an animal, a couple animals that big with that much food and stuff like that. It's just...
You better pack out every show, every night.
And they're not allowed... I know most states have banned elephant rides now.
Really?
Yeah. And I get it.
I get it, too.
It's, you know, they are sentient beings that don't need to be exploited for money.
That's true.
But if he wants to give you a ride, I've seen him pick people up.
I wouldn't mind an elephant ride.
You ever seen... I know we're way off topic now. You ever seen that one video of the elephant caretaker for the reserve that came back and he's walking in the river? And the elephants are ignoring all these people until he stands in the river and he yells and they hear it's him. They bum rush him from, like... a half mile away, they look like they're going to murder him.
Yeah.
And the second they get there, they all circle him and just gently start touching him with their trunk and ignoring all the other people.
Yeah.
And they're so excited to see him and stuff like that.
Oh, good beasts.
You know the other thing that makes me so excited?
What?
Flavors of the Forest.
Oh, me too.
Let's play a Flavors of the Forest, Dad. We'll be right back, guys.
Suey! I got me this hot, fresh squonk steak, but man, it tastes bad. Jay, you got anything to fix this up?
I think you need some seasoning on that squonk fixer-up.
Well, what do you got?
How about you try this right here? It's called Bigfoot Breath. Raw garlic seasoning made from fresh garlic.
Oh, give me that. Sure. Well, it did make it taste a lot better. Jeez.
Brought that squonk right alive, didn't it?
You know, I'm going to have to kill more squonks to use more of this seasoning.
Oh, how about you try this instead? How about you try my spicy garlic seasoning?
Oh, give it here. Suey! That's good stuff.
Spicy, but not too spicy.
That's perfect. Where can you get these delicacies?
Oh, you can find these on flavorsforest.com. This is our newest spice that's just been created. And it's from Flavors of the Forest.
Make sure you all get some at the links down below. We'll catch you. Suey!
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing some more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health, their food. So she's decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over the 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Grace loves it. She just gobbles it up. Go check out Badlands Ranch. You can get there at badlandsranch.com/corncrew and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/corncrew today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
And we're back.
And we're back.
I'm hungry for some reason.
You know what? I don't care what they cook for dinner tonight down there, but we're going to sprinkle some flavors of the forest on it. I've hidden several bottles in the Ronald McDonald House.
Nice.
Just hoping people find them and take them.
Needs to be here.
All right. So, John Robertson Circus in St. Louis, Missouri, November 4th, 1887, killed two people.
The circus killed two people?
The wreck.
Oh, yeah.
The train wreck.
Train wreck. I forgot.
I couldn't find any monsters with this one.
Missouri?
Yeah. Once again, I found a lot of Bigfoot sightings.
Hyenas?
Well, yeah, but I couldn't find a hyenas. I think directly related to this. Okay. But I'm just saying, I found Bigfoot sightings in the state of Missouri, you know, within a couple hours, three hours. But at that point, you know, it's hard to really say. Bigfoot's the one I'm kind of hesitant on for these, unless it's really small. Like a four-footer Bigfoot where you can look at it and be like, oh, that's a chimp. That's a, you know, a baboon. Yeah. When it's 9 foot tall, it's hard to say that it's a gorilla.
No, for sure, yeah.
When we didn't know about gorillas for another decade.
Yeah. True. I don't think any of the traveling circus had a Bigfoot on board, but I could see where they could have some creature, and then there happens to be a Bigfoot sighting happens to be a sighting of said creature that they'd never seen before, and then call it a Bigfoot just because.
I think it's the big money monster is the one that attacked the traveling circus.
Oh, it actually attacked the circus itself?
It fell in love with one of the ponies.
One of those guys, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know what we talked about?
So the big money monster watches My Little Pony?
So I want to read this very carefully. So John Robinson Circus crashed St. Louis, Missouri, November 4th, 1887.
Okay.
John Robinson Circus crashed Brazil, Indiana, November 5th, 1887.
Wow.
They got the train back on the rails.
And then for it to
be killed two people, they got on the road again and it wrecked again.
So is this the train's fault? Is it the track's fault?
So I looked into it. We'll talk about it at the end.
Okay.
Because it does, as we go in time, it does get less and less frequent. But there's two factors for that, and we'll talk about that. But neither of those I could really find any direct monsters around that we could really point at and say could be circus animals on the loose. Wellsboro, Maine, 1888, Brenham and London Circus crashed.
Okay. Up in Maine.
Yep. Couldn't find anything.
Okay.
Okay. My last one for this episode before we talk about some stuff with trains and everything like that. Like I said, this will be probably three or four parts, and we're just going to sprinkle it out through the season.
Okay.
And every time I want to just sit down and talk about train monsters. Because I found...
Train monsters.
As I was doing research for this, I found a lot for the 1900s.
Okay.
And I think that's because the data is more preserved.
Yeah. Say, we might have lost quite a few of the sightings through time.
Yeah, because I could barely find evidence of these train wrecks sometimes.
Gotcha.
And these are train wrecks that killed people.
Right, yeah.
And you couldn't, you know... You can barely find evidence of it. So this last one is the John Robinson Circus again. So he had a bad year. Well, this is the next year. This is September 10th of 1888 in Corwin, Ohio.
Oh.
Do you remember Corwin, Ohio?
Sounds familiar for some reason.
Think really hard. Like season one, episode 7 or 8, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Can you think of it?
No.
So the town of Crosswick is a 2-minute walk to Corwin.
The Crosswick Monster.
Yes. The Crosswick Monster. We're gonna talk about the Crosswick Monster.
You didn't like that episode.
I did.
No, wait, someone didn't like it.
No, that was Bosco we got yelled at.
No, there was someone with the Crosswick. Maybe you didn't feel it was a strong one, maybe then.
Episode like 7.
True.
Okay.
I think you were like, this is our least listened episode back then.
Well, yeah, when there was 10 people listening.
Yep.
So thank you all for your loving support. So let's talk about the Crosswick Monster. So Corwin is literally, so this is my favorite one of this episode by a long shot, mainly because I typed in Corwin to see where it was on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, some of these towns don't exist anymore, so I look for where they were and find a bigger town. Then I look for monster and cryptid sightings I can find that. And then it's like, I looked on the map, and the town, it's a 2-minute walk on Google Earth.
Okay.
It's a bridge. It's across the creek.
Right.
And it's Crosswick.
Okay.
And I'm like, no way.
Yeah.
So the train wrecked in 1888.
Okay.
So this is, again, you know, we're talking about a long, long time ago.
Over 100 years ago.
So, for the Crosswick Monster, I found 3 different dates again.
Okay.
3 different years. 1882, 1888, and 1891.
Wow.
So, for the purpose, I want to be forefront about it, all of this. You know, it could not be connected at whatsoever. But this is literally about 100 yards from where the train wrecked.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And one of the dates is the same year.
Yeah, that's pretty weird, ain't it?
So, let's talk about the Crosswick Monster. So Crosswick, Ohio is a small unincorporated community in Warren County. It's kind of close to like Loveland down there and everything. Yeah, kind of, you know.
Kind of southwest
of Dayton.
Okay.
But north of Cincinnati.
Okay.
The unofficial border sits right alongside Warrensville. Its current population isn't really recorded. It only has 1 road passes through it. But for every little small community it doesn't have, it makes up for with one big thing. It's a giant recorded monster attack. Instead of all these monsters it just wasn't seen, it tried to eat a kid.
Yeah, it tried to pull him up a tree, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you're remembering. So, yeah, this was established in 1821 by James Jennings. The monster wouldn't make himself known to residents until 1888, while many large on tracks were occasionally found in this previous year, or during the year, sorry, most often crossing over dirt roads that ran through the community. Nobody ever thought of finding out what was making them. So these people were seeing these giant tracks. They were described as almost avian, like giant birds.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever seen monitor lizard tracks? I can see where they could be similar. They do have 5 toes, but they're thin, long toes with big claws,
right,
like a turkey.
Right.
They just have more toes. Most reports chalk this up to fear held by the residents in the belief. But that way of thinking, as the residents would soon find out, would all change. So they were just ignoring this monster. While out fishing in Strutsville Run, which is the creek that separates Corwin from Crosswick.
Gotcha.
A stream that passes through Crosswick. 2 boys named Ed and John Lynch began hearing a loud unknown sound emitting from the tall grass behind them. Curious of what was caused this could be, the boys began to approach the area. Before they could investigate, though, a gigantic lizard-like beast burst through the brush, ran towards them on all 4 thick legs. Terrified, the boys began to scream and run towards their homes. The creature, although proving to be much faster than the pair, caught Ed in its mouth and pulled him down to the ground. Giant lizard, that's not good.
No.
If they get you on the ground, it's not good. Joe began to scream louder and louder. He watched this terrifying reptile drag his brother along the edge of the stream to a large, hollowed-out sycamore tree, which it appeared to be using as a den. Eventually, the screams of the boy were heard by 3 men who were in the area and came rushing to aid. The men, Reverend Jacob Horn, George Peterson, and Alan Jordan, arrived on the scene to find the nearly dead boy still in the creature's mouth and almost completely pulled into the hollow tree. Upon seeing this, the men raced over to the tree and retrieved Ed after being dropped by the creature before it climbed further into the hollow log it called home and out of reach.
Uh-huh.
After summoning the nearest doctor from Waynesville to look after the boy, a man named Dr. L.C. Lurkins and 3 men rounded up a group of more than 60 residents to destroy the beast. Armed with axes, clubs, well-trained hunting dogs, the group of mercenaries marched towards the tree. Soon after arriving, the men started to chop up the tree with their axes in order to get the creature out. With the dogs growling and barking at the creature, they knew it was within inside. The men waited anxiously for the beast to show itself. Thinking the creature would try to escape the large hole at the bottom of the tree, the group of men were taken by surprise when the reptile leapt towards the ground from the hole at the top of the tree. Hmm. Upon hitting the ground, the creature stood upright on its hind legs, balancing itself with its extremely large, thick tail. Though awkward looking, it did take off from the group. Some members of the group, obviously shocked and frightened by the appearance of the beast, dove out of the way and allowed the creature to make its escape. Others, not as quick to scare, chased the monster without a second thought. The group chased the beast for nearly a mile, through fences, streams, uphills, and around trees. Eventually, though, the creature managed to escape their pursuers by charging headfirst into a hole surrounded by rocks on the hillside. Members of the group, along with their dogs, surrounded the entrance of the hole, waited for the creature once again to emerge. Believing it was the only way in and out of the hole, the men kept watch. But it appeared as if there was another unknown exit for the hole, because the creature would never emerge and was never seen again. So the Crosswick monster described by these people was roughly 12 foot long, covered in thick scales. It was black and white coloration with dull yellow spots. It had feet roughly 12 inches long, a wide head, a long forked tongue. Because of the description, many researchers believe the Crosswick monster is more likely an out-of-place monitor lizard. A parenti is probably what it was, an Australian parenti. It could have also been an Asian water monitor or a New Guinea crocodile monitor.
Could it have been a Komodo dragon?
It could have been, but they are still extremely rare. They were super rare at this time, especially in trade.
Yeah, but
the coloration, though.
Yeah, that's the big indicator.
Yeah, Komodo dragons are a solid, flat color unless they're really little.
Okay.
So
this wasn't really little.
No.
Yeah.
So in my personal opinion, this is either an Australian parenti, which are extremely intelligent, clever hunters, and they do tackle large game sometimes, like kangaroos.
Okay.
So a kid.
Not so much different.
If you're hungry?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then New Guinea croc monitors were really rare. So in my opinion, it's either an Australian parenti or an Asian water monitor. Both much more common animals. The big, large yellow spots, this colorful palette of, you know, and both can be aggressive. Now, most of these monitor lizards, besides the Komodo dragon, max out at 8 feet. So the 12-foot-long creature seen in Crosswick, I think, could be chalked up to about 150 years of exaggeration.
Right, yeah. Getting bigger and bigger and bigger over time.
So both Australian parentis and Asian water monitors were in circuses.
Ooh.
And they were shown sometimes as dragons.
Ah.
They were shown all kinds of monsters and stuff like that.
Put a funny hat on them.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. You won't have your finger. Monitor lizards are highly intelligent, so they're basically being tortured in captivity in these circuses.
Gotcha.
So they get kind of bitter.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
They get a little bitter, so every time you put your hand near them, they will remove it.
Right, or if you're like a little kid and they're like, all right, screw this. I'm eating them.
Some of the stories say that this creature did, in fact, have a nest, and when they opened the log later, they found tons of eggs in there and stuff like
that.
And it could have been. It could have been a pregnant female. Monitor lizards can produce offspring without a male. She could also have been pregnant while caught.
Right.
And then, you know, just laid eggs in there. Would have died that winter, no matter what. You know, it's a monitor lizard from either Australia or Asia.
Not meant in that biome.
Yeah. So what do you think about this one?
Oh, I think this is, barring it being a fake story, but I don't think it is.
It was very highly detailed and scripted on a lot of people's names that we can look up.
Yeah.
In tiny town, though, in Ohio.
I think you were on, I think it is some kind of big monitor lizard.
Yeah, I'm going to go probably parenti or water monitor.
And it's either that or some weird cave creature that's just never been seen. You know, it's just something weird.
Yeah, but very
like a one-off ancient species.
It could be the giant salamanders of the Ohio River.
Yeah, could be that.
No, I think it was just, I think it's...
It's a land salamander.
A monitor lizard that was hungry, probably starving.
And probably got escaped from a train that wrecked.
The train that wrecked that year earlier.
Right across the river.
Like 100, 150 feet away.
Literally that same spot, yeah.
And was starving. And I don't know, so they can be kind of protective when they're digging their nests and stuff like that. They really don't do a lot of nest guarding behaviors. So the boy could have been attacked.
I say when you're lost and desperate, though, you kind of throw everything out the window.
Yeah, so I don't know if the animal was starving.
Yeah.
And then the boy was a meal that could have tried to attack and eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about it carrying away in his mouth and stuff. And my personal thought, you know, we talk about these old stories. been in the newspaper several dozen times over a century.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they probably get a little more exaggerated every time.
But it could have, though, and depending on the boy's age or build, like
I said,
shoot, you grab your leg and just starts dragging you. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, not a lot.
And it sounds like Brother Joe didn't really help him.
I mean, they're
too
13
much.
And 11, so they're pretty decent sized kids.
But still, even 11 year old, I mean,
I think it more likely what happened.
Especially at that age, they can grow at different rates, so big time.
Yeah.
Kids. I've seen, we just had a group of kids at their after school program for having good grades. You know, the school bring them out, go bowling. And literally, it was like fifth graders. And the size difference range, some that were taller than me, you know, about 8 foot tall. And then some that were seriously up to my waist, maybe. I'm not joking, though. Well, I'm 8 foot, I'm joking. But the kids are pushing almost 6 foot tall, which is in fifth grade, not, shouldn't be possible. But then their classmates come up to their knee.
Right.
But they're all the same age.
So I think, personally, in my opinion, it probably just bit the kid.
Yeah.
And the rest has been exaggerated over a century and a half.
It could, yeah. You don't know, though.
No, I don't know. I mean, but that's a big monitor lizard to carry off a 50-pound kid, even if he's a small kid.
Or even if, let's just say they were right by that tree, it was dead trees right by the river, and it grabs a kid in the river, it's easier to pull something through water.
And I don't think it was a Komodo dragon, because the kid would just be dead.
Yeah, he'd be, yeah. It would have been poisoned, or
venom.
Venom, envenomated?
Yeah.
What's that called?
Envenomation.
What's it called, though, when you're infected?
When you have venom in you?
Yeah.
You've been envenomated.
That's it?
Yes. You had the word correct.
So if someone's been poisoned...
You've been poisoned.
Okay, and if someone's been...
injected with venom, they're envenomated.
Wow.
Venom is only injected into the bloodstream.
Should be a better word for that.
You had the word right. I mean, I don't know what you want. Poisoned? You think poison is better than envenomated?
No, because it doesn't... It's, no. But envenomated, they're infected. I don't know. Envenomated, fine.
But yeah, so I think that's what happened. And I know whenever we do part two and part three of this, I think it'll at least be three parts.
Probably.
Maybe four, because there's in the 20s through the 50s, there are a lot more cryptids that are directly connected to train wrecks.
Wow.
After Junior sent that, I was finding stuff I don't want to spoil it.
It's like
it.
Foreshadowing. Don't spoil it. But save it.
Another one that's been on the show.
They're on the edge of their seats.
I think that was the Patreon episode when we did Helltown, Ohio.
Yeah, I think so.
But the monster from Helltown, Ohio was probably released from a train wreck.
Mm.
So what do you think about this?
I think it's an interesting topic that gets coverage, you know, here and there, but I haven't heard anything like a full-on linking the two together just like we're doing right now. Like, I haven't heard that yet.
So, yeah, and like I said, I'm not going to do this in a row.
No, no.
Because it's too hard. This one is very research-intensive.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, very.
And we're not even at a home studio to do
it. No, and I'm doing this in Ronald McDonald House.
Yeah.
But no, I will sprinkle it in because it's fun. I like it. It's a lot of fun, Junior. Thank you.
Yeah.
So why did train circus crashes slow down? Two reasons. Well, why did it happen so much then? Why did it slow down? Infrastructure for the trains. I know it's bad now. It was absolutely appalling. Train tracks were done by hand at this time.
It's because we dug them all up.
There's pictures of like the rails.
Yeah.
Like wobbly.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, what would happen is the wobble would go too far away from the other rail.
Track.
And the train would just get thrown off it.
Yeah.
And then you'd go out there and fix it.
Yeah.
And then they'd put the train back on it. And then they'd make it 100 more miles. And then it'd fall off again.
Find another wobble spot.
Uneval train. Wobbly, like it was built by hand. You know, hundreds, if not thousands of miles of train tracks.
Right. I mean, we dug up all the railroads, right? They're already here.
I've never heard that.
Yep. We dug them up. And started using them again.
Well, that explains it.
You think we bored through a mountain to put the Transcontinental Railroad in, or did we just rediscover it?
Yeah, that guy, was it the guy in India that removed that whole mountain for a hospital?
Well, yeah, that's different.
You ever seen that?
We talked about it, didn't we?
I think so.
Yeah.
That he did it because his wife died of cancer, so he wanted to make sure nobody ever... And it took him like 23 years, but it was one guy with a shovel and a pickaxe.
Made a path. Mm-hmm. It's different stone.
Different stone, thank you.
Yep.
I mean, I'm excited. This is fun. I think that a lot of these weirder, like, not weirder, I guess, a lot of the more, I don't want to say mundane cryptids either.
Just
a lot of our animal cryptids.
Or one-off animals. One-off,
like, for a town, like the Crossic Monster.
Yeah.
Like the walking dog, the giant flying bat.
Right. You know,
what else did we do this episode? I'm forgetting the first one.
Oh, the seal.
The sea lion.
Yeah, the one that did the double backflip into the male's hole.
Yes, it was the same one.
Yeah.
Like tumor seal. Yeah. No, so, yeah, that's where we're at with this.
Yeah.
So, stay tuned for part two, which will be some point in the future.
That's true.
It is true.
I'm Jake, been Jake Clone 33.
I've been the great and powerful mystery. We'll catch you next week, guys. Bye.
Bye. Enjoy flavors of the forest.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Crib is the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jake clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.